Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
I don't think I need to tell you that property remains one of the most emotionally loaded and financially complex investment decisions that you can ever make. But with rising rates, shifting tenant dynamics, and the promise or peril of commercial returns, just how smart is it right now to really buy bricks and mortar in 2025? Well, joining us is Kevin Caden, who's Managing Director at Parity Wealth. We're going to discuss the new rules of real estate investing. And Kevin, welcome. Thank you very much indeed. Let me ask you bluntly then, property in 2025, is it a smart place to park capital, or do you think investors might be chasing yesterday's dream?
Yeah, look, it's a very interesting question and covers a lot of various dynamics. But I think, you know, the key considerations for first-time investors revolve around diversification, risk tolerance, capital availability, and obviously their long-term objectives. If we look at residential property, generally offers a lower barrier to entry in terms of affordability and financing, but it also benefits from more consistent demand, especially in urban nodes where rental housing is under pressure due to population growth and urbanization. For instance, as of quarter four 2024, Johannesburg apartment yields on average around 11.14%. Conversely, if you look at commercial property, whether it's retail, office or industrial, typically requires a lot higher capital outlay and often longer vacancy periods between tenants. For, you know, first-time investors, you should be looking at the affordability. So entry-level residential property can be financed through mortgages lending, while commercial property often demands significant equity outlay. Risk profiles of the property. So residential has lower volatility and quicker tenant turnover, whereas commercial carries higher risk but higher potential reward. And obviously costs. So property ownership incurs various ongoing expenses such as maintenance, levies, insurance, taxes, alongside transactional costs like transfer duties during purchase or sale. And obviously then is the liquidity issue, which is, you know, real estate is known for its liquidity constraints. The process of selling property can be lengthy and heavily dependent on current market conditions, which can fluctuate based on economic health, legislative changes, and other regional factors. The best choice depends on investor capacity to absorb risk, the liquidity needs, and how involved they wish to be in managing the asset.
So let's talk a little bit about the appetite for risk and making that decision. So you talk about the choice between commercial and residential property. But at this point within the economic cycle, which one offers real risk-adjusted returns?
Depends really on the person and the investor and how, I suppose, diversified their financial portfolio is. While property investment can enhance the diversification overall of the financial position, it does concentrate risk in a single asset class, which could be vulnerable to local market downturns. If we look at South Africa's current economic environment, characterized by low wage growth, rising interest rates, and load shedding, residential rental yields in many urban markets have come under pressure. Net yields on residential property in South Africa typically range between 6 and 9% before tax. However, if we compare this to more liquid investments such as an offshore index tracker like the MSCI World, which has averaged around 15% per annum over the last 15 years, we can see that there are actually good alternatives out there. This shows us that diversifying investments across global markets, which include equities, bonds, gold, and various currencies, spreads out the risks and provides broader exposure to international dynamics, offering a protective buffer against localized economic downturns in South Africa. That being said, though, many investors prefer the tangible nature of real estate investments, which holds significant appeal. Investors often appreciate the concrete reality of land and buildings over the abstract nature of a digital or paper asset. And additionally, real estate can offer potential capital appreciation and the possibility of generating steady rental income if the location is correct.
And Kevin, all I guess about scoping the geography in any real estate conversation I've ever had on this program, you always hear the old trope, location, location, location. But how difficult these days is it to quantify a so-called growth node when it comes to practical and investable terms?
Yeah, correct. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Location, location, location. And that remains the single most important determinant of property value and rental income long term. In South Africa, investors must consider both macro and micro location dynamics. So if we look at the macro factors to look at, I mean, economic hubs such as Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban all remain key. But there is emerging growth corridors that we're seeing, such as waterfall precincts, certain parts of the Garden Route. Coastal towns are benefiting from, semi-migration and attracting investor attention. If we look at the micro factors then to look out for, I mean, proximity to amenities, good schools, public transport, security, fiber optics, are now all becoming essential for both residential and commercial tenants. As an example, if we look at Johannesburg, properties near the Gautrain stations experienced a 12% increase in 2024. So some practical tips, to look out for are, study the municipal development plans for upcoming infrastructure projects like schools, roads, or business parks, tracking population and migration patterns. If we look at, in 2024, over 400,000 people migrated to Gauteng and 495,000 to the Western Cape, indicating that these two regions are experiencing great growth potential. If we look at retail or office developments where national tenants are securing long leases, this signals confidence in the area also. So in essence, investing in property, in the wrong location can lead to underperformance and loss of capital long term.
And just a final one, we hear these days about REITs, about fractional ownership. I've even heard about crowdfunding platforms. Do you think these kind of opportunities offer genuine property exposure or just the illusion of it?
No, look, they've certainly got their place, and they are increasingly becoming a lot more, tangible and innovative. If you look at some of the investment platforms and structures catering to retail investors without the need for big capital outlays, some of these, as you mentioned, include REITs or real estate investment trusts. These are listed on the JSE and offer access to professionally managed property portfolios. Diversifying you into retail, industrial, and residential with low minimum investment thresholds and benefit of liquidity. You also mentioned some of the platforms, so there is co-ownership models. So platforms like Flight or Easy Properties allow investors to co-own residential or hospitality properties for as little as 1,000 rand. These typically provide a share in rental income and capital appreciation long term. And then there is crowdfunding platforms. These emerging fintech solution pools provide investors, to be able to access properties that, may not be accessible due to capital constraints, etc. But I would err on the side of caution to do, the due diligence in order to ensure that the yields and the access are as per described on the offering card. But ultimately, property investment today doesn't require deep pockets. It requires sound research, a clear strategy, and a long-term view ultimately.
And that is excellent advice. Kevin Caden, thank you very much indeed. Managing Director
Thank
at
you.
Parity Wealth.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.